Kia ora and welcome to Amran's Podcast, episode 242. Today is Thursday, November 25th, 2010. I hope you'll forgive me for abandoning the topics I'd planned for today and for being a little bit less boisterous than usual, but the fact is that I'm feeling a bit subdued. New Zealand is a nation in mourning today because of a mine disaster that has just happened on the west coast of the South Island. In case you haven't heard the story, what happened is that last Friday, at about quarter to four in the afternoon, New Zealand time, there was an explosion in the Pike River coal mine. There were 31 miners in the mine at the time. Two made it out, and 29 didn't. And there were, of course, immediately started organizing to try to do a rescue of these 29 miners who could still be alive, as far as they knew. And they wanted to do that as quickly as possible. The problem, however, is that there were very high levels of gas still in the mines, methane principally, which is, of course, a very explosive gas. And it wasn't safe to send the rescuers in. What could have meant, potentially, was if their greatest fears came true and there was a secondary explosion, that it could have ended up killing the rescuers and the miners. And there was also, of course, the risk that the rescuers might inadvertently set off an explosion and kill them all. So there were all of these factors at play, and they were being very cautious and waiting for the gas levels to drop to a safer level. Yesterday afternoon, and apparently about 3:30, 2:30, 3:30, somewhere in there, there was another explosion in the mine, and all hope for the continuing lives of the 29 miners was abandoned. So New Zealand is now officially in mourning. A national day of mourning hasn't been declared yet, but all flags are flying at half staff. Parliament has adjourned. They met this afternoon, and instead of normal question time, there was a motion expressing the House's sympathies on behalf of the people of New Zealand, and each of the party leaders was able to make a brief speech in support of the motion and also to express their party's personal feelings and condolences and thanks, even in some cases, for the rescuers and the people who were involved in that. But, of course, it's always a risk when there is mining. When there is mining, there are always disasters. Because, you know, you think about it, I mean, human beings have been mining for millennia, probably, in one form or another. But we've been doing this underground coal mining for about a couple centuries or so. And technology is definitely advanced. We don't use canaries in coal mines anymore, for instance. But despite all our advances in technology, the field remains incredibly dangerous and incredibly high risk. And yet there are these people who are willing to go down every single day and face that danger, face the risk of imminent death to do their jobs. They're ordinary working people. You know, they're not fancy. They're not government leaders. They're not captains of industry or the elite of society. They're just ordinary working people who go down there every day to make a living, to support their families and their loved ones. And sometimes the luck runs out. This was the worst coal mining disaster in New Zealand since, I think it was 1896, I believe the year was. So it's been quite a while. But, you know, you hear these stories about these miraculous rescues. There was the one in Australia a couple years back. And, of course, there was Chile most recently. And you hope that things are going to turn out. And you just, in your heart, you know that it's not very likely. And when there was that secondary explosion that blew through the entire mine, you just knew it was all over, as did the authorities. And so yesterday they had to inform the families of this new explosion, and that there was no longer any hope that any of their loved ones had survived. The oldest miner was 62. The youngest miner was 17. He had gone underground for the first time that day. He wasn't due to begin work until this week, as a matter of fact, but he begged and pleaded and cajoled and managed to get an earlier start so that he could go down in the mine on Friday, which kind of underscores the idea that, you know, at any given point, the choices we make may have unforeseen consequences that could be permanent in this case. And maybe it just, this sort of thing should serve as a reminder that we should take life in each day a little bit more seriously, pay a bit more attention to it. Because you never know when you're going to run out of them. And in Parliament, I was listening to all the party leaders except for the Māori Party because he was speaking in Māori, and I didn't understand what he was saying. But I listened to the others, and the two major parties, the National Party and the Labour Party, were both really spot on, and I was particularly moved by the words of the deputy leader of the opposition, because she was talking about her own family and its mining history and about the ordinariness of mining and the fact that it's made up of ordinary people. But she also talked about how every day we see tragedy on our televisions, some things unfolded somewhere in the world, a flood, a fire, a volcano, an earthquake, any number of disasters can befall human beings. And of course, our hearts go out to them, but there's always a little part of us that thinks, phew, it's not us. And then when it happens in your own country or among people you know or know of or what have you, it becomes really different. It becomes so much more personal. And those of you who have experienced a personal tragedy in one form or another near to you will know the sort of thing I'm talking about. The closest thing I can relate it to is probably 9/11, actually, because it was the sort of thing where, say, in America, for instance, every American felt that in some way, some form. They felt a connection to that day. Well, the same sort of thing is true, I believe, to no lesser degree, whenever a tragedy happens, whether it's a natural disaster or a man-made disaster or whatever, that we feel a connection if it happens in the place where we are. So New Zealand is, of course, a very small country. There's only 4.5 million of us. And so when a disaster like this happens, we feel it probably more personally than a disaster of this size might be felt in a larger country. But it's a feeling which is shared by our cousins across the Tasman in Australia. You know, we often joke about each other. We are certainly bitter rivals on the sporting fields. But when it comes to something like this, the Anzac spirit comes out, and we are a family. We're cousins. We're family. And Australia has pledged to do whatever it can to help with the recovery of the bodies. They have specialist equipment that their mining industry is much bigger than ours. They have specialist equipment that they're making available to help make it easier and faster for the rescuers to get into the mines to retrieve the bodies of the lost miners. Now, at this stage, nobody knows for sure exactly how or when the miners died. They do know that the explosion that happened yesterday extinguished all hope, but the reality is that there was probably not much chance that they survived the first blast, or if they did, that they didn't live long, because the mine was filled with toxic gas, not just methane, but also carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and what's likely is that if they had survived the blast, they would have fallen unconscious and died. So it's probably a blessing, in a sense, that they probably died fairly quickly. And so it wasn't a case of having to wait underground for days for rescue or to ultimately be killed by the blast. There has been a lot of talk about how there was no food in the mine. But of course, humans can last for weeks if they have water, and there was water available to them in the mine, had they survived. So, yeah, there's a lot of mixed emotions going on at the moment. At the very end of the podcast, I'm going to play the Prime Minister's statement to the nation immediately. Well, it was yesterday evening, actually. And so you get a sense of where he's coming from. Because I personally find that I am at a loss for words and what to say, what to think even, what to feel, except sad. I've shed a few tears over the past couple of days, I have to say. But when something like this happens, a national tragedy, the leader of the nation has the duty to speak on behalf of the country as well as to the country. And all things considered, I think the Prime Minister did a pretty good job. And so, like I said, I will play that at the very end of this podcast. And the only thing that will be after that will be the outro. So if you don't want to you know, you're kind of a downer, you can just skip over that. And I certainly won't think any less of you for doing it. But New Zealand is in mourning at the moment. There will eventually be some sort of national memorial service, probably in either Christchurch or possibly even Greymouth, which is the nearest town to the mine. But I don't know. We'll see. But in the meantime, it's kind of a sad day today. The sun's shining, but it just doesn't quite seem as bright as it did a few days ago. And I suppose that's to be expected. But some of us are already starting to try to move on because, you know, the hope is gone. There's nothing more we can do. I didn't know anybody affected by this. I don't know anybody who lives in Greymouth. I don't know anybody personally who's living on the West Coast even at the moment. But nevertheless, you know, all New Zealanders and actually New Zealanders and Australians are united in this. And so thank you for indulging me about that. But I needed to tell you what's going on and why I'm not feeling as chipper and boisterous and humorous as I usually do. It, as you might imagine, hasn't helped my kind of detachment that I've been feeling lately. There was one point today where I seriously thought, I'm going to quit Twitter. And I don't know where that came from, but it's kind of part of this sort of feeling I've had lately. And I was trying to think what the word is. There's a word for everything. I was trying to think what the word for what I'm feeling is. And the first thing that I thought of was ennui. But that's usually because of a lack of occupation or excitement, you know, which is basically boring. And of course, that's certainly not the case. And then I thought that the actual better term is probably malaise, which, you know, a lot of people don't think much of, my generation anyway, don't think much of because of Jimmy Carter using it in a speech. And he was widely ridiculed for that. But that's more, it's the same sort of feeling of discomfort or uneasiness, but you can't quite put your finger on why you're feeling that. And that's exactly what I'm feeling at the moment when I talk about feeling detached from politics and all that sort of stuff. But then my actual favorite word for what I'm feeling is Weltschmerz, which is a good German word. It literally means world pain, but it's got more like a, I don't know, sort of world weariness, I suppose. But I just like the sound of Weltschmerz. Just, I don't know. It amuses me. And these days, I'll take what I can get. Now, I had topics all lined up that I was going to talk about today. And I was originally planning on recording this earlier in the week. But I knew this mining thing was going on, and I kept hoping that there was going to be some sort of good news development that I could pass on. And, of course, that wasn't to be. But nevertheless, I did have topics for today, and I will save those for next week. I'll just leave that at that, shall I? Okay, I will. But the rest of this year is going to be kind of interesting. For the podcast, I mean, because I have my usual work week is coming up the first week in December. I've got to get the house ready for the family to come for Christmas. A lot of things on. I don't know how much I'm going to be podcasting. And then, of course, we're into January and February. January more than February, I suppose. And I don't have any work projects on at all in January. But Nigel is going to be off from around Christmas through to mid-January or so. Now, we're going to be looking after our young nieces on January 17th through the 21st, I think it is. Yes, that's right. And so that week I'm going to be busy, and I know I won't be doing any podcasting that week. So it's going to be kind of odd over this summer period. I don't know when I'm going to have time to podcast. We're just going to have to sort of play it by ear. So it actually, in a weird way, that should make it easier for me to plan topics, because since I don't know when I'm going to have a chance to do them, I'll have fewer topics I have to address, won't I? But among things I really, really want to do is to get back to having guests on. I just haven't been able to get to it, all year, as I wanted to. I've had some guests, obviously, but, you know, especially in the live shows, but I haven't been able to do my more focused shows that I wanted to do this year. Certainly not as many as I had hoped to. So I'm going to try that again, probably in the new year, when I can get myself organized. But one of the things I did want to do is to re-extend the call to any expats who would like to share their stories. By all means, contact me. The contact details are on the site, amrinspodcast.com. And I will do my best to try to arrange something that's mutually agreeable in terms of how we meet up and when and all those sorts of things. And but I would like to broaden this out a bit more and talk with other expats about their experiences. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about New Zealand as such, but it's sort of my thing, isn't it, being an expat? And I would like to talk a bit more about that. Also, I got an email from Brother Sinaitis inquiring about my mailing address, which reminded me suddenly that with the amalgamation of Auckland, of the, you know, the eight councils into one Auckland, I hadn't updated the address on my mailing address on my site. So I have now fixed that. It now is the correct address. Basically, the only real change is that it used to say North Shore City, and it's now Auckland. Oops, I bumped the thing. Because North Shore City doesn't exist anymore. Not that it really matters that much. It would still get to me. But the point is still that it really should be correct, and it is now. I've been working on my podcast site. I've been reconnecting, what do you call them, the audio files to the posts that they relate to, and I'm back to, at the moment, I am back to, I think it's August of 2009. I think I've gotten that far back. So, and I'm slowly working my way backwards. But it's really time-consuming, really boring, so it is taking me quite a while. If I don't finish it before the end of the year, then that's one of the things I want to work on in my downtime when I, during that time in the summer when I'm not actually podcasting, I might at least do that. But, you know, over that time, I might do some videos. I might do some just, you know, word posts on the site. So I'm not going to disappear completely. But those are some of the things I'm going to be working on. Right now, I am going to play a voicemail message I got.
Hi, Arthur. It's Moose. Just calling to make sure your line's active. I'm sorry to hear that you're totally disillusioned with American politics now. I can understand why after the last election. Hope you're having a great week. See you later, sir. Bye.
Well, thank you very much, Moose. And your call now extends my voice line right up through like the 23rd of December or something like that. Which means, ironically enough, that it's extended right up to the period where I lost it last time. So I may have to put out a call again next month. So before you go away on your holidays, you can save my voicemail line or something. I don't know. But thank you for that. And it's actually not just about American politics that I'm feeling sort of disillusioned about. It's also New Zealand politics. It's just sort of in general, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I was thinking about it actually before I started recording and what it is specifically, and I still don't know, which is why I call it a malaise. But it's kind of it's like I feel that neither the left nor the right represent me, and obviously I'm more left of center. I am left of center. I was going to say more left of center than right, but yeah, there's only a few things I'm right wing about. More often than not, you would call me left of center, and I just don't feel that the left. Maybe I should just say the liberal end represents me. The far left certainly doesn't, but you know, the liberal end even doesn't, because Democrats just don't seem to get it. They don't seem to, they seem so obtuse sometimes. And the same thing is true of the New Zealand Labour Party. They're really, really pissing me off too, for much the same reason. They seem so detached from reality these days. I mean, there's no way I would vote for a Republican for Congress. I haven't ever, I don't think. Oh, no, I probably did. I probably voted for Charles Percy, for U.S. Senator from Illinois, who was what they used to call a liberal Republican. There used to be such a thing. But that was probably the last time I voted for a Republican for Congress, which would have been, what was that, 78 or something like that? At any rate, I will not vote for the New Zealand National Party, either with my party vote or for the local MP. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to vote for Labour. The way I'm feeling right now. And that actually may be a topic worth exploring in itself as the year as the new year unfolds, because next year is an election year here in New Zealand. And maybe what I can do is take you along with me on my journey as I try to figure out what I'm going to do and how I'm going to, I don't know, vote or whatever. If that actually, now that I'm thinking a lot, I'm thinking as we're going, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. And I just think I might do that. I think I might make that a project for the year of trying to decide what to do. It might be interesting, or it might be a disaster. I don't know. Yeah, I'm clearly not quite with it today. I'm sorry about that, but I wanted to at least put out an episode to kind of let you know what's going on before the week is up, because any later than today, and it's pointless because it's Thanksgiving. I only had one written comment on the site for the last episode, Spring Cleaning, which I never explained. It was Spring Cleaning because I was cleaning out the blog and the site. That's what the connection was. Anyway, and it was from Nanuri, who left a phone message and said, that was fun. Thank you, Nanuri. And She actually tweeted me that she really wasn't aware that I didn't like the name Art anymore. And but that's quite all right because I don't make a big deal out of it. Although I really dislike the name. It's not like, especially the people who've known me for years, it's not like I'm going to chastise them for it or anything. Now, if anybody, any new people that I've met in the past few years starts using it, that's another story. And I can sharpen my claws, or better yet, I'll use Bellow's claws. They're much sharper. But so today is Thursday here in New Zealand, but it's still Wednesday in the U.S. I am cooking Thanksgiving dinner here tomorrow, Friday here, Thursday there. And I have a frozen turkey, which is thawing. Actually, it's really hard to find fresh turkey in New Zealand. It's almost always frozen. But anyway, I have that. I have kumara, which are like sweet potatoes. It's a variety, actually. And regular potatoes. And tomorrow I'm going to bake pumpkin pie. I'm going to make pastry myself. Never done that before. Wish me well. And so that's my big deal for tomorrow. But because tomorrow is Thanksgiving in the U.S., I will not be doing my live show. I don't know if anybody else is going to take over the time slot, but I will not be there. It just seemed kind of pointless to me, plus which I'm going to be busy anyway. Saturday in the U.S., however, is the time for Nigel's show, The Third Colony. Now, I presume that he's planning on doing it this week. I don't know that for certain. But if he is, it's Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time on QNation.fm. You know what? I'll just play his jingle right here, which gives you all the listening instructions, and then I'll be back right after that.
Hi, this is Nigel. Join me for music, chat, and more on The Third Colony this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern on QNation.fm. Go to The Third Colony, all one word, thethirdcolony.com for listening instructions and to join the chat room. See you on Saturday at 9 p.m.
Well, I wanted to play that just in case I don't get many more opportunities, because you never know. I mean, it's possible that Nigel might stop doing the show, and actually I don't even know if he's doing it this week, because we haven't talked about it. But I wanted to at least have the opportunity to play it one more time anyway. So that's what that's all about. But that is going to be it for today, and I would like to wish my American friends a happy Thanksgiving, regardless of whether you have turkey or not. That doesn't enter into it. I hope you have a good holiday weekend. And to my listeners in other parts of the world, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I will be back next week with a more upbeat podcast, I assure you, and I'll be going back to my regular schedule of topics. But until then, that's it for me today. That's it for this week. Have a good weekend, everyone. And now, bye. But now, here's the Prime Minister.
This afternoon, New Zealand has been devastated by the news we've all been dreading. A second explosion at the Pike River mine confirms our very worst fears. The 29 men whose names and faces we've all come to know will never walk amongst us again. This is a national tragedy. A tragedy for the men's families, for their workmates and friends, for their community and our nation. New Zealand is a small country. A country where we are our brother's keeper. So to lose this many brothers at once strikes an agonising blow. Today, all New Zealanders grieve for these men. We are a nation in mourning. Where this morning we held on to hope, we must now make way for sorrow. Our heartfelt sympathies go out to the families of these 29 brave men. After days of waiting, of both preparing for the worst and hoping for the best, they have been delivered the cruelest of news. So to all of those who have lost a loved one in the Pike River mine, let me say this. New Zealand stands shoulder to shoulder with you. Though we cannot possibly feel this pain as you do, we have you in our hearts and our thoughts. Like you, we had all longed for that miracle to occur, that your men would be returned home to you. Tonight, on behalf of the people of New Zealand, we send our sympathy to the children who have lost their fathers, to the parents who have lost sons, to the wives who have lost their husbands, to the girlfriends who have lost their partners, to the siblings who have lost their brothers. This is a tragedy for the communities of Greymouth and its surrounding areas. This loss will be felt in every home. They leave behind them a hollow space that will not be readily filled. We must also acknowledge that Australia, South Africa, and the United Kingdom have lost men in this tragedy as well. Tomorrow I'll travel to Greymouth to express my condolences to the families and to express our thanks to all those who have worked so hard on the attempted rescue of these men. From the moment of the first explosion, they have spent every waking hour tirelessly working, searching for a way to bring these men home alive. That was not to be, but their enormous effort cannot go unmarked. Tomorrow in Parliament, Deputy Prime Minister Bill English will move a motion in my absence, providing all political parties an opportunity to express their sympathy. It is a mark of respect to the victims and their families. It is the government's intention to lift the house. I've also directed that tomorrow, all flags on government buildings will fly at half-mast. Questions must now be asked and answered about how such a tragedy was able to occur and how we can prevent another happening in the future. It is my expectation that Cabinet will confirm the details of a commission of inquiry at its next meeting on Monday, along with any other inquiries that may be deemed to be appropriate. At this time of national pain, let us not lose sight of what truly makes New Zealand great. We're a tough and resilient little country. We care deeply about our fellow countrymen and women. We are a series of communities knitted together by a set of values and principles that have guided us through together, through good times and bad. It is the spirit that will see us through.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Airman's Podcast at airmanspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at airmanspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.